I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 3, Episode 19. The Martin Truex, number 19, Bass Pro Tracker Boats, Toyota Camry, Joe Gibbs Racing. It's the best I could do. Mm-hmm. At least it's one of our favorite NASCAR drivers.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? Anyways, on tonight's episode, we'll discuss NASCAR. At the track, too tough to tame, Darlington, or the Lady in Black, as they call it. IndyCars on the road course at Indianapolis. That was a fun race. Mm-hmm. No weather impacts.
Nope.
For that day, at least. Then we'll talk WEC at Spa, Francorchamps, in the 8 hours of Spa.
6 hours of timed racing.
And then we'll talk IMSA at Monterey Laguna Seca. I don't even know if they got a new name now.
It's WeatherTech Race.
Is it WeatherTech?
WeatherTech Race.
WeatherTech Race at Laguna Seca. Should know that. Jeez, these tracks on the West Coast and all the sponsorships. I know. Then we'll have some news and notes.
Speaking of sponsorship.
What about sponsorship?
We'll get to F1 on that one.
Oh. Did I miss something?
The upcoming race at Imola.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Box and Neutral guys had a fun time with that. Yeah. There's been some good memes about it, too. Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird having a cruise line sponsoring a race that's in an inland track.
Well, you know, based off last year, that
makes more sense in Miami.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, based off last year, there's a lot of water there. So.
All right. Well, let's see. Before we get started off, we should send a shout out to a family relative. Just like to congratulate Alyssa Abbott for graduating. Mm-hmm. From the University of Colorado at Boulder this past weekend. Chris and I were there. So, golf clap. Congratulations, Lisa. Yes. We know you're listening. All right. So, let's move on to Darlington. And honestly, first half of this race, I'd say first 70% of this race, Larson dominated. And then you got to cut right tire, put him into the wall. So that kind of shook the field up. Kind of made for sort of an interesting last third of the race. Top three guys were Chris Buescher, looking for his first win of the season to seal spot in the championship. Tyler Reddick, who's already qualified, and amazingly, I can only imagine if Nate was with me watching the race, Bad Brad Keselowski, trailing in third. He was back quite a bit. Had good long runs throughout the race, but never quite could get past third place. As the race kind of dwindled down, it definitely was a battle between Buescher and Reddick. They were running different lines, each different laps, and Bush's car seemed to be handling Reddick's car handled a little bit better than Bush's car at certain points, and then he made a run on him. I have to question the move going into the turn, which he ended up, I think he could have done it coming out of the turn down the straight on the front straight, and I think it would have had him, but he did it going into turn three, and needless to say, they came together. And as they say, rubbing is racing. And both slowed themselves up enough and caused enough damage that they man, it was awful. Bad Brad actually was able to pass him. And then my worst nightmare coming up was Ty Gibbs was closing on Bad Brad. Fortunately, Bad Brad held on, so I'll take that moral victory there. Crossed, you know, got the win. First win in, like, I don't even know how many starts. It's been forever. And his first win with RFK. So not Robert F. Kennedy. It's Rush.
Rush, Fenway.
Fenway.
Keselowski.
Yeah.
Well,
it was better at the end, though. I have to admit this, though. In true NASCAR fashion, Bad Brad, you know, does his burnouts, and then they get this ginormous American flag. But as they do it, they're playing the theme music to the end of Days of Thunder. It couldn't have been any better. I mean, the only thing better would have been, like, you know, Jean Girard and Ricky Bobby running down the straightaways, but it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute, are they really playing that? And they were.
I mean, it...
There you go, Captain America.
It is...
the new Captain America. It's not RHR anymore.
It is too bad, though, that the Bad Brad number one fan could not be
here. Oh, I know.
So
I know.
I shouldn't say unfortunately, but we should give
We did receive text.
We did receive text, yes. But we should give him some airtime when he returns.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because he was getting in my mug about everything. Look, he would not have won the race had those two had Reddick just cooled it.
No, but I mean, you know, that's racing. Like the fastest and most dominant guys of the day don't win. So,
but it did lead to a dust up on the pit lane, which was kind of cool.
Sure.
No punches were thrown, but but that the thing was Reddick defused it real fast and said, "It's my fault." There we go. That pretty much ended it right there. Mm-hmm. So Brad is now in. Oh, Nate's gonna be.
He's gonna be in full force.
It's gonna be full force. Oh, we can only hope he gets eliminated in the first round.
Well, there's multiple races in the first round.
Right.
Yeah. So
right.
I mean, so he's got chances. That's the thing.
The only crappy thing was Buescher didn't get a win, because I like Buescher.
Yeah.
Is he the one you raced?
Yes.
In the carts?
Him and...
Christopher Bell?
No, Dakota Armstrong.
Oh, Dakota Armstrong. Yeah. Nate's the only one that knows who Dakota Armstrong is. I couldn't even tell you. Anyways. Chris Buescher I knew, but anyways. Mm-hmm. So they're off to North Wilkesboro this weekend for the All-Star Race. Kind of cool thing. Well, I shouldn't say it's by necessity. Kevin Harvick's going to be mucking around in Larson's car until Larson shows up.
That's right.
The best part is...
Wait, so it... Oh, no, oh, no, no, no. I'm sorry. I'm getting the weeks mixed
so
up.
So it's like...
I'm sorry.
No, no. 600 is in...
That's... You're right.
I think... Right. Yeah, we I got think Hart... I don't think Harvick's on... He's not on watch for that, but this weekend he's definitely... He's doing Friday practice, whatever. He's doing the heat races on Saturday to, you know, get the car in position for Sunday. The best part is Larson's just going to roll in on Sunday and put it, you know, in the main
show. I know.
that's the best thing. Yeah. Although Larson's last race leading into the, he wasn't too good at Darlington, but then the other night he was at the High Limits sprint car race and he rolled it.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I got to go to Indy now and run over 200 miles an hour. See you later.
I mean, was dominating Darlington
pretty much. He was,
and then
he was flat out dominating, and it was a tire
didn't fall his way. But I mean, it's not like he's struggling on his way into Indy.
No, either. Absolutely
so
not.
He's in good form.
No.
Right now.
I just was wondering, like, is he gonna go run a sprint car race tonight, because like he got ripped off on track time today? But who knows? I don't know. I guess the big question is, will he run the little fight? Because he has to go.
You have to qualify.
He's got to go to Charlotte. He has to go to Charlotte on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Qualifying.
So he might not be back for that.
No, so, that's too bad. Anyways, that's going to be a mess. But anyways. All right. Well, there we go. So it's kind of an off weekend for NASCAR this weekend. So I don't, unless Larson wins, we won't talk much about it next week because it's a non-points race. So don't.
Yeah.
It's cool that it's at North Wilkesboro, but that's about it. All right. Let's talk IndyCar. This weekend, made it to the GP circuit at Indy, the road course. Actually, this track is kind of starting to grow on me in terms of the quality of the races, because there's all different strategies.
Yeah, it has been playing out pretty good over the past couple
of
years.
And when the weather quirks up, it's even better.
I know. So, I mean, I'm still...
There could be a couple things made to improve the track, but...
Well, okay, that's my point, but it's more reverting back. I would like, instead of that left-right chicane after 1, 2, 3, 4, if you count those.
Is it in the infield?
The infield where they do that chicane rather than you cut back in and then go out like the old it used to.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that. Keep the next section that's left, right,
the
left,
piece
right.
That I don't like, and I wish they didn't have, is when they come out onto the banking, instead of going back into that Mickey Mouse infield piece that goes to the pit road. I kind of wish it just blasted it right down the... That's just me, but I don't know if they'd have to modify. Well, no, because the Formula One cars ran that same first corner, so...
Yeah, the only thing that could change would be...
I guess pit entry.
More bare... Well, yes.
No, you just peel off there and go into the pits.
Yeah, you just peel off.
Yeah, yeah.
You would just have to set a rule of where you're pulling off.
Pulling off, yeah.
That's all.
That was my only thing on it. I see your point about that.
But then also you'd have to the runoff of turn one might have to be adjusted.
Yeah.
That's all.
But it was the practice sessions were mixed bag. It was pretty, all over the place, which was good. And just the Penske's, got all their cars all jumbled up because of all the different people being there. So,
yeah,
which was good. Most consistent Penske person all weekend was Will Power.
Yeah.
Not surprised. Mm-mm. However, I will say this. Ganassi came to play this weekend.
Yeah.
Ganassi came to play, and I'm going to just say this. McLaren did not.
That's 2 weeks in a row.
Outside, they were out. And I'm talking specifically that they're two top drivers, which are Pato and Rossi.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's so much the drivers. I'm really starting to think it's who's on that team, the makeup of who's on that team.
Yeah.
Like in terms of engineers and stuff, because Teo is, he's still in learn mode right now. I think the car would be, if Ilott was in the car for the road races, it'd be higher up in the field.
Mm-hmm.
But given time, I think it's going to be fine. So, I think it's a good pick for he's a likable guy, and he seems like a really good talent. So, I'd like to see him there. Wish I could say that about some of the other Formula 2 guys that came over because I think they'd add to the field.
But,
and I'm not picking that they're not American drivers. I'm just saying that there's a lot of talent out there that's just not getting – that there's opportunities here. And some of these kids are bringing money in Formula 2 – that they could easily spend an IndyCar and get rides here and, and be in contention here. So I'd like to see that. But the other team that really came to play was Andretti, too. Did not show it in qualifying.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Herta was a miscue in the pits. Fuel in the car, they blew it, and they... The guy, the fueler took responsibility. Colton, said, hey, everybody makes mistakes. It is what it is. I'm sure that everyone was pissed, so.
Kirkwood had kind of a quiet race day.
Yeah, Ericsson.
But Ericsson was a bit more caught up in some of the drama. Same with Grosjean, but
And that wasn't Grosjean.
No.
That was. Fine friend from Connecticut there.
But, I mean, Erickson and Herta had an incident earlier on the race.
That should not happen.
No, it shouldn't, but I mean...
Especially with Herta leading the points.
Right. And then the only, well, I mean, I guess there's two ways to look at it. That I'm thinking of is, one, Herter shouldn't have been down there. So, I mean, stuff's going to happen. But two, where he got put off, it could also be possible that Erickson might not have been looking there.
Yeah.
Because it was on his outside, so I wouldn't expect him
it
to,
was the first lap,
to be there. Yeah.
Still, it should be happening.
Mm-hmm.
From the race standpoint, you know, Pillow was dynamite.
You know,
he was dynamite.
The top three.
It was Lundgaard, right?
It was Pillow, Lundgaard, and
Power. But, I mean, Lundgaard, he loves this track.
Ray Hall has been doing
yeah.
well at this track. Because yeah. because Graham was up and ended up finishing ninth.
Ninth, yeah.
And then who's their other guy?
Pietro was 14th.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. he was off the bottom end of the field, which was great.
Yes.
So, yeah, yeah. I mean, that has to be good for him.
But so, yeah, Lundgaard is doing
yeah.
very well with this track combo and yeah. but I mean, I think that's also because Rahal has found a good setup for this race
right.
too.
Right.
Which always helps.
I mean, if you look at it, the top 3 were your top 3 in qualifying. So
yeah,
that was really good.
And then Dixon just lurking.
Dixon doing what Dixon does.
But I mean, again, like, Pillow's off to a very consistent start to this championship. So it.
I mean, yeah, Ganassi. I mean, you got two cars in the top, the fast six, right?
Mm-hmm.
Graham missed out, right? Yeah, he was ninth. Is it the fast six?
Fast
six. He was in the 10, but then he wasn't in the six, right?
12.
12, yeah the fast 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Rossi start. Yeah, Rossi. Oh, man, Rossi. Well, I mean, basically, Rossi, we just started 7th, finished 8th in the race. I mean, this is the road to know, you know, just like, yeah, that's where I was.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, I gotta say this. I have no idea what McLaren's doing. Like, their strategy is so out of whack. They had Pato on the primaries at the end of the race. I mean, had he on the blacks.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was, well, whatever.
Okay. So the only thing, all right, well, I guess let me back this up before I spew anything. I didn't watch the race live. I watched the highlights of it. So I didn't see, I wasn't paying attention to him, but when they put him in the highlights of his radio message going crazy, did he, when the final yellow came out, was he the only one?
They kept trying to catch up on track time. But I mean, the thing was, with the way they were doing it, you were going to be on the bad tires at the end of the race, and he lost a ton of positions at the end of the race because he was on the crap tires.
All right.
It's like the
final caution just seemed poorly timed to be on the blacks at the end there.
It did, but he was getting mouthy before that, and rightly deserved. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I'm like, well, if you're going off about it, are you guys talking before the race? What the plan? I mean, I'll be honest with you. If I'm running a team, okay, if I'm leaning on my driver, you know, based on the feedback and stuff of what the strategy is going to be,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to be on the end of the race. I do not want to be on the bad tires. I want to get rid of those tires. I mean, either you start the race on them and you give up positions and then you're on the good stuff the rest of the way, or you start on the used goods, move to the bad, whatever, the mm-hmm. the non-primary, whatever, the non-better tire, and then go the rest of the way on to whatever you got left, which is the good stuff. But
the only other way I can spin that is if it is a more track position race, and you can defend well, then you want to get the jump at the start, and then you can defend later on.
I just don't. I don't know. I mean, the only thing, like, when I was watching Colton, now Colton started 24th and finished 7th.
Yeah.
So clearly, the goal of the team was to get him as high up a finish as possible, or put him in a position where he, you know, might be fighting for the. I think that was the stretch, but. The only time there was a little disagreement on the radio was they were telling him, okay, you can go, was to go. He went.
His fuel number.
And then it was like, then they switched the fuel number and he's like, well, what do you want me to do? You know? And it was like, I think it was like, it was kind of like all of a sudden it came up. It's like, okay, now we need to do this. And, you know, once I think then he kind of processed what he had to do, which was fine.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was just like, I don't know what goes on at McLaren. I don't know. I mean, no idea.
I mean, well, okay. I do want to say that, I mean, Pato finished 13th and Rossi finished 7th.
8th, yeah. 8th. Yeah.
Not that I'm going to discount Teo, but, I mean, he's a rookie. He's not, I don't think anyone's really expecting him to be up there with
finished
them.
Finished inside the top 20, so.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing what he needs to, and he's learning. I mean, that's the point he's at. So I mean, it's not a terrible. I wouldn't say it was a terrible weekend, but it was not a.
It could have been better.
Yeah. I mean, just considering how far off they were from the rest of it, because I mean, if like you said, if Colton didn't have the qualifying session, he definitely would have been top five in the race.
Top five. I don't know. I'm not gonna say he would have won, but I mean,
it would have been interesting to see how close he would have been. Because he definitely because
McLaughlin went from 13th to, I think, 5th or 6th, was it? So I think that's Colton would have been in that mess you know. Probably would have pipped Armstrong. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what Dixon was doing. But, I mean, Armstrong was running – him and Dixon were running a strong race there, just, you know, maintaining. So that was good. So anyways, so overall good race. Not, as I said, not impacted by the weather, so – that was good.
Yeah.
And all right. Now so the we go to the points here real quick. Palou up in front, 152. Will the Thrill Power, 140. Dixon somehow at 127. Colton Herter, 127.
Mm-hmm. And Dixon has the tiebreaker for a win, or with his win.
No, he does have a win. That's right. Where did he win?
Long Beach.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, my God. How did I forget that? Then we got Felix Froro. And then,
again, very impressive season with how high he is.
Yep. With Meyer right Shank. Now. Yep. Yeah. And it's McLaughlin. Jeter. Pato. Followed by, Kirkwood.
Kirkwood's sneaky.
Yeah, he's sneaky. Oh, and then, well, here's the other one that's sneaking around. You know, yeah, here's two guys that, here's Kirkwood, Lundgaard, right? There's a 2-point difference with those two.
Yep.
Then you got Rossi, who is not having exactly, if he could have a couple of stronger finishes, he'd be higher in the points. But, I mean, where he's finishing.
He's in the second half of the top 10 consistently.
But he's got 3 top 10s. That's what's keeping him alive.
Yes.
That's exactly what's keeping him alive. Same thing with Colton, 4 top 10s.
Yeah. And
the only thing with Dixon that's keeping him alive is the win, because he'd be flip-flopping with – if he didn't have the win, he'd be flip-flopping probably with Colton. And then you got Armstrong. Then you got Armstrong at 76, and he's 2 behind Alex. Alexander. And then Graham's again, 1 top 10, 71 points.
I think this is where it kind of drops from here.
Yeah, after that it drops off. But
it's really just, you know, Newgarden that's way down there.
Well, suffer the consequences.
Right. So I mean that's I would expect Joseph to climb eventually. I would expect McLaughlin to jump Rosenquist and maybe Herta.
Yeah.
As well, unless Herta's going to go on a run this season, which would be cool.
Now, just kind of leaning back on the race, somebody who was, I thought, having a good race, and it sort of went upside down a little bit on the pit strategy was Harvey. He was, you know, they were definitely trying something, and unfortunately, the yellow didn't fall when it needed to. But he was mucking around.
Yeah.
All right. So next up for IndyCar is the Indy 500. Mm-hmm. Today was supposed to be day one. We had an abbreviated session.
It was day one.
We had an abbreviated session, and Marco Andretti was fast out of the gate.
Shocked.
So I'm not even going to – the rest of – Marco was quick. Dixon had a couple – I mean, they literally had like 6-7 laps.
Yeah, I think it was 30 minutes of
– Connor running. Daly said it was the best – because, I pulled out, did a couple laps, and it rained, and I came in.
Yeah.
It was slow. It's like talk about raining on your day. So that was they'll try again tomorrow. They extended the time tomorrow, but the weather forecast does not look good for Wednesday.
Tomorrow will be today when this comes out.
Yeah, Wednesday. Anyways, today's Tuesday. Thursday, weather's iffy-ish, better but not great. And Friday, I mean. This is the tough thing. It's just a tough time of the year. So,
yeah.
Anyway, so we'll see how that goes. Eager to see how Larson progresses over the next couple days. Hopefully, he gets on track. See where he ends up. So we'll see how that goes. All right.
Oh, recap of picks.
Oh yes.
You got Pelot right.
Woo! Hello, Pelot.
Nate had Will Power.
Oh, so strong, not bad.
Strong
not bad.
Second there. Yeah. And then I think I just went with the wrong Ray Hall driver this week.
Who'd you go with?
Ray Hall. Graham. So I should have...
Oh, you went with Graham.
I should have went with Lundgaard, but,
Oh, that's all right.
Again, not a bad team choice out of that one. Dark Horses, I think I went out on that one with Erickson in 16th, Nate had Santino in 27th, and then you had VK in 26th.
Yeah.
So the average for everyone came out to like around 13th to 14th for a weekend result. But it is what it is. We're only doing winners. It's pretty good that we're even picking a winner at this point.
Oh, that was pretty exciting. All right.
Are we moving on to the Porsche dominance?
We're going to talk. Let's talk IMSA, and then we can go to WEC.
All right.
So IMSA ran at Laguna WeatherTech Raceway, Laguna Seca, Monterey.
Yeah. We can stick with Laguna.
Yeah. Now this was the first of the traditional 2-hour and 40-minute races.
Yes.
Long Beach
sprint race.
Long Beach was the Sprint X race.
No. I think technically Sprint X was longer.
Now, this going into this weekend, practice qualifying stuff, Cadillac dominated.
Yeah.
In GTD, Corvette dominated.
Mm-hmm.
Both practice and qualifying. During the race, Ganassi, I don't know what they did and why they did it, but they... The fastest driver in that car is Seb.
Mm-hmm.
Bourdais.
Yeah.
Van der Zander is—he's okay. I'm not a fan. I'll say that.
Okay.
So they started the race. Seb went out, did his thing, led. Should have pitted sooner, and then they ran afoul of yellow.
Mm-hmm.
No big deal. He pitted, came out third. It's not the end of the world. But Van der Zander went in the car. And he can't. He's not as quick as the next guy in these other cars. Now, instead of being able to, so his goal would have been to maintain position, say, 3 through 5 or advance the car. That's I mean, he could have lost 2 or advanced 2. You know, that's essentially what he should have been doing. He was horrible. Absolutely horrible. And then, so they have another pit stop to go. Now, all you have to do in the pro class is 10 minutes driving. They came into the pits. For some reason, they decided, oh, we're not going to change tires and do fuel only. Well, they still could have, in the time the fuel went in and stuff, they could have changed the driver. I think they should have just put tires on, changed the driver, filled it up, and went and put Seb back in the car.
Well, the question is, do they have tires?
Yeah, they do. They had another set. They just chose not to use it. A lot of the teams were trying to be sneaky about it. And like Action Express changed right side tires. That was all they did. It just,
I mean, that makes sense.
They were trying to jump the field based on, things. But I mean, Ganassi was, I don't know. I mean, they had like Van de Zander went the most out of the I don't get it.
I mean,
I don't get it.
Well, so let me, for context, it seems like with these, the tires for the GTPs,
yeah,
or hypercars, whichever,
yeah,
the warm-up,
yeah, the warm-up, how you phase, work them in, yeah, is important. Yeah,
well, it's important, but that's also
there's no tire warmers.
No, but that's also the most costly point of the race too, because if you put new tires on, you're losing time out of the gate. It's not like they're fast right when you put them on.
Yeah.
So you got to get temperature in them and get them up to speed, because there have been instances where the GTPs come out of the pits and the GT3s are around them.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, at Laguna, you come down, you get that funky little pit exit.
Yep.
You could easily put a car off.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, again, I don't mind it, but it does make you think about what you're doing, in regards to taking care of the tires, and then also for your strategy, it's a little bit of not.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say backwards thinking, but like it's not what you're used to in IndyCar and F1, where you just throw them on and go, they're fired up right away.
No, I agree, but I just don't.
But yes, I mean it does seem if you save a set of tires and you put them on in the middle of the race, then you're good to go to the end.
But my thing is, it's like, the same thing with Action Express. They had Pipo in the car. Pipo's their best driver. It's like, wouldn't you want these guys as your closer?
The other thing too is, I haven't seen. Again, to clarify, I didn't watch the race. I just saw some highlights of it. But my first question would be: is who was the faster driver this weekend?
It was Pipo. Pipo was the faster driver. Seb was the fastest driver. In the Action Express car, he qualified the car.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Seb qualified the car. Doesn't mean you have to start that guy.
Okay, I was going to say, I thought they changed that rule.
But, I mean, like Penske went with Tandy to finish in the car that won,
mm-hmm,
and he's an animal.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean,
who was in the other course that finished?
It was Nasr and Cameron. They finished third. And then
Wayne Taylor finished in that car.
I think it was Nasr.
Okay.
Because I think Dane Cameron started. It might have been Cameron. I don't know. But I will say this. Wayne Taylor did this. Like in the Ricky Taylor Albuquerque car, it didn't matter because both of those guys have been around this track 100 times. In the other car, the 40, they started Delatraz.
Yep.
Which is fine because I'll be honest with you, he has no near experience that JT has on the track.
Mm-hmm.
And they used JD to close. And it proved out that he was the right guy to close the race because, not only did he pass the sister car, but he was working his way up through the field to get to finish fourth. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if he would have been able to get to the Porsche at third, but I'm just not 100% certain on that. But I just the Cadillac thing that I didn't get it. I mean, they had an opportunity to put Bourdais back in the car,
mm-hmm,
and they didn't do it. I don't know. I just sometimes I wonder. you know, my thing would have been, okay, Renger, you're going to go, you're in second. Like, I would have, if there was a yellow that came when that pit window opened, I would have brought him in, changed the tires, put Bourdais in, and gone to the finish with Bourdais. Because I think at that point, you probably could have won the race. Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, overall, the race was awesome. It was a ton of passing because, you know, you had the full GTD field there. You know, so you had to work your way through that. You know, and the guys, they all did great. Based on this, like all 10 GTP cars finished on the lead lap. None of the GTP cars retired. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Two cars finished two laps down. I'm sorry. The BMW of Philip Eng and the this Mustang sampling car. That they had an issue.
Okay.
They had an issue, and the BMW. Oh, the BMW went off. That's right. BMW went off and clouded a sign, and then one of the wedges off the back came off, so they had to fix that. But other than that, I mean your top 10 cars. You know, finishing the race, you know, that's awesome. That's what people want to see is 10, you know, you don't want to see cars dropping out. So, that's awesome. So, thought that was good. So that was awesome. So now we move on to Detroit.
Yeah.
Oof.
And that's in June. That's going to be the week after Memorial Day.
Is that the week? Is that the test weekend at Le Mans? Oh, no, it isn't. Because Jordan's driving. I don't think it is.
Hold on. I might be wrong.
I'm checking. Wrong. Are you checking?
Nope, I'm right. It's Saturday, June 1st.
Okay. Cause I.
So that, and that's a yeah, Saturday.
Yeah.
So right, then.
Because right, JT's driving at Le Mans.
Okay. Yeah. No. Yeah. They'll all be able to catch a flight and get over.
Get over. Because the week after Le Mans is Watkins Glen.
Yes. Yes, it is.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I think Watkins Glen is the same weekend the Nürburgring 24 is. Or is the Nürburgring 24 the weekend before? June is like a mess. There's like so much. I might as well just brew the coffee and stay up.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a look at the Michelin Pilot Race. We had a new winner there.
Ooh.
Which was exciting. Well, GT. Should we talk GTD?
Yeah, why not?
All right. Let's go back. Sorry. Forgot about those guys. I was so enthralled with the GTP race. I was nothing against to do with the GTD race.
Yeah.
This is the first weekend, though. I will say this. The Lexus out to lunch, unfortunately. No, I shouldn't say that. The Parker Thompson Frankie Maltecavo car ran really well. And then Parker Thompson had, like, I think he must have had the most nightmarish race. Like, he got punted. He got, I mean, it was like stuff that usually wouldn't happen to him. It was crazy. So felt bad for him, but anyways. Mm-hmm. So in GTD we had
GTD or GTD Pro?
GTD Pro, sorry. we had Rexy with the win.
Yes.
AO Racing. So mm-hmm. Lauren Heinrich and Seb Priya, well done, boys. Followed by Kirk Hoffer and Ollie Jarvis in the Pfaff Motorsports McLaren. Excellent outing for them. And then, actually, the next second and third great outings for them because the Corvette got into the top three. So there is massive improvement coming there. Corvette finished third and fifth in class. The Lexus of Hawksworth finished. And Barnico finished fourth in class. First in the GTD class was the Windward Racing Mercedes of Philip Ellis and Russell Ward. They were benefactors of, I believe, and I'd be criticized for this, driver error by the BMW driver Robbie Foley for Turner Motorsports. He was leading the race, and it had a bit of an incident with JT, and I kind of disagree with what the folks at Turner say and some of the broadcast people say, but I will lay the blame on Foley in that instance. And if someone wants to debate me on it, they can. And then Foley rebounded, though, finished second. And then the Wright Motorsports guys had a great outing with Elliott Skier and Adam Aleson finishing third. So good on those guys. All right. So when we go to Detroit, it'll be GTP and GTD Pro. No GTD.
No, it'll be the reverse of Long Beach for...
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say reverse. It'll be the other GT class compared to Long Beach.
That's correct. Yep.
That's a better way to phrase it.
All right.
If we can't make this confusing enough.
Michelin Pilot Race, first time win for Motorsports in Action, McLaren. So McLaren had a good weekend in GT racing in IMSA.
Yes.
And then TCR. These guys, they're going to get outlawed. I swear to God. Did they have any problems in practice and qualifying? Because the first two races, the first race at Daytona, car wouldn't start. Sebring, the car like crapped the bed in qualifying. Yet both times they rebounded to win. So Mikey Taylor and Chris Miller with the JDC Audi. Win again. It's three in a row.
Yeah.
Awesome. Love it. Just missing the podium. Our boys in the Alfa Romeo.
But
it finished.
So actually, that's where I thought you were going with that. I thought you were going to say the Alfa one because I didn't watch.
That's my dream finish, though. The Alfa and the Audi going for it.
I know. But typically... Typically, when the Alpha finishes, it wins.
Right.
Or it's
on the podium.
Yeah. And when it doesn't,
it's up in flames.
It's in the pits.
Yeah. It's usually some big error. Like it's a big kaboom or there's a car fire or something. I love the Alpha.
And it's not nothing against that team, but it's
it's awesome, though.
It's fun to watch.
But the Audi guys are just cracking me up.
Yeah.
They just crack me up. So that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about MX-5 real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Oops, what happened?
I don't know. What did happen?
Won't show me the... Won't give me the results.
Oh,
here we go.
So hold on. Typing.
No, the hyperlink didn't work well. Oh my god. Okay. The races were good.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't super great like the first two. For the first two weekends, because it's two races each weekend.
Okay.
So the first four races were crazy. But as you said, the track is not...
Laguna is a smaller, tighter track compared to Daytona and Sebring.
Yeah, and there's a lot of elevation. There's a lot of driver inputs and things that need to be done like that.
It's not a draft fest.
Yeah, it's not a draft fest.
Like it's actual driver skill that comes in.
What about Lime Rock? Would that be a draft fest?
Yes, but it's a different style. Like you only make like...
It's more NASCAR.
Yeah, you only make one or two moves, assuming you're using the old uphill.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they would use the old uphill because cars don't get airborne.
Right.
Watkins Glen's a draft fest.
Yes, very much so.
Road America's a draft fest.
Yes, but they're not going to... It doesn't seem like they're going to Road America or Watkins Glen this year.
I will. I'll check that. Jared Thomas took the win in the first race. Mm-hmm. With Nathan Nicholson second and Tyler Gonzalez third. So Aaron Johnson was sixth and Gresham Wagner was seventh. That's kind of like the top drivers. So that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Race two. I'm working this crazy little thing that they got set up. I will say this. They can give you every piece of... Wow. They give you... You can get every lap time. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap. And a lap chart.
Yep. Yeah, they're good about this stuff.
I'd like to come back to this in a second.
Just to update, they are not running at Watkins Glen or Road America.
That's outrageous.
So their next race is
who's running at Watkins Glen? Is it Lamborghini?
Super Trofeo is Michelin Pilot Challenge.
Porsche?
It might be Porsche Cup. Ugh. Yeah, it's.
Did Porsche Cup run when we were there?
No.
Oh, so maybe they're running and Mazda's out this year.
Yeah, I think they.
Okay. Well, that's all right. I like those series. So, in race two, Aaron Johnson, Nathan Nicholson finished second. So he was the overall winner for the weekend. Wow, Gresham Wagner, bad race. Finished deep. Anyways.
Oh. No, you. So. We're getting ahead of ourselves here, but at Watkins Glen, it's WeatherTech, Michelin Pilot Series, Lambos, the Porsche Cup Series, and...
Oh, the Mustang!
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
So that's coming.
Hold on. I'm trying to open a file. Sorry. Why won't it open? Oh. Oh, that's weird. It's like a CSV file. Well, our points leader right now is Aaron Johnson, followed by Jared Thomas, followed by Jeremy Fletcher, followed by Gresham Wagner. That's your top four. I can't. The points, the thing's kind of kooky. Anyways. All right. So there we go. That's pretty cool. I will say this about the IMSA's in-race timing and telemetry. So I used the Alcomel website for the timing and scoring, which is essentially what IMSA uses. Mm-hmm. So you go to the Alcomel site and you can get everything. And the cool thing is you can get all the race control notes in there. They're like when they're saying who's got a penalty and stuff. That stuff's cool. Then I went and found on the IMSA site for the GTP cars only, they have the energy.
Oh.
You can find that.
Oh.
It was fascinating watching that. And it's real time.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
That is one thing that I do like about WEC.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah, I think that would help because it is interesting to see what strategy the guys are on.
Yeah.
So that's something that WEC does do a really good job of. I mean, could it be better? Of course, but I mean, you can only put so much information on the screen before you oversaturate it.
Yeah, so I was watching the race on the laptop.
Mm-hmm.
Now I figured out how to fix this, how to get the streaming working on there. So what I should have probably done was I should have put it on the iPad and then streamed it on the TV. And then what I should have done was had all the data screens up on here. I should have done, do that multi-screen thing that you can do. You know how to do? Yeah, you can do four different screens.
Oh, I mean, it's just moving the window.
Yeah. But if you could do that, it's phenomenal. But the Alcomel site, it's awesome because they're like, boop, 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 it's like going crazy.
I mean, what you should do is have the main TV and then get like four additional TVs to put around the perimeter of it, you know?
Yeah, I could do that. Sure. Do
it. Just smaller ones. It doesn't have to be big, you know?
All right, now I'm on the WEC site. This isn't going to go well. Trying to find
the results.
The results.
You're not going to Wikipedia? Wikipedia has everything. contrary to popular belief, I get a lot of my information from Wikipedia.
Where is... hold on. See, I screwed this up. Oh. Duh. Results. There you go. Look at that. Shocking. Anyways. This... First off, it's awesome because they're at Spa.
Mm-hmm.
Just watching some of the practice stuff for them going through Eau Rouge. Oof.
Yeah.
The best part was Jenson Button talking about this thing going, you got to be flat out through, like you're not lifting. Mm-hmm. You are just pinned. Mm-hmm. He was like, I got to get used to this. Because apparently in the Formula One cars, it's not, it's a little bit of a lift. Apparently, that's what he said. It's a little bit of a lift.
Hmm.
I know. It's kind of crazy. But anyway, but I think the WEC cars put out more downforce.
No.
No?
No.
No?
There's really? No, there's no way the hypercars put out more downforce than an F1 car. No.
I thought they did.
No, if F1 is lifting through Eau Rouge, it's either to protect the tires or do some fuel stuff. Right. That's it.
Okay.
There's no way that they make more downforce, especially the.
Oh, well, I thought they did.
No. No. Anyways.
Right. Well, we had I thought overall a great race until, it was the Bamber crash that caused the.
Yes.
Red flag.
Yep.
So. Up until that point, I mean, the Cadillac started up front and then faded. And yes. We think that was tire issues. I have to think. I don't know.
I mean, the other thing, too, is it's one car.
And the Ferraris got penalized. They had, whatever. They had issues and they had to move to the back of the hypercar grid. So that it's bad on them, but is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, you know, the race overall, it was just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I mean, it was like...
Not just hypercar, but also
GT3. Right.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think the biggest car that was sort of, I guess, the Corvette was out of the launch, but the Toyotas were not good form this weekend. Not sure why.
Mm-hmm.
The Peugeots struggled. I just don't think this is a Peugeot track.
I mean, it's second race with their new, new wing.
I think this car, like Imola was fine for it. I think Le Mans, the car will be good. I think at Monza, definitely the car is going to be good. I just think the package is just set for those, you know, kind of low downforce tracks, you know?
Well, but Imola would counter that.
No, it's pretty quick. I mean, it's the car was quick there. They're kind of bringing up issues like they're not getting treated fairly in the BOP, but I'm like, I don't want to hear about this. But, you know, well, the Toyota was definitely out to lunch this weekend, so.
Okay, if anyone's getting screwed on BOP, it's definitely Toyota right now.
Yeah. Well, it is.
They're definitely getting...
Although Ferrari got hit. Ferrari got hit before this race.
Yeah. I mean, Porsche is in a very favorable spot.
Spot, but who knows? They might get whacked.
They
Le Mans,
will.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So.
I know. It's all about sandbagging, but not sandbagging.
No. And then, you know, the Alpine, you know, we're at year one and the Azzotta and the BMW. It's year one. I mean, I can't really... say that, you know, that's the same thing we had.
No, I mean, look in long endurance races, if you have two cars battling, that's great. It's,
you know, at the end of the day, we had 1, 2, 3, 4 of the GTPs didn't finish in the top 18. So you had 22 GTP cars start, which is impressive.
Right. And
the first 18 cars were GTP. The first 16 GTP cars were all in the same lap.
Yeah.
And we had the one of the Peugeots and the Azzotto finished one lap down.
Yeah.
Bravo to them. So,
yeah, I mean, and the Cadillac was one of them.
Alpine, both cars finished. Peugeot, both cars finished. So, again, really good.
Well, and the BMW, Cadillac, one of the Porsches all retired because of a crash.
Yeah.
What was the fourth car?
I'm missing. The Hertz car.
They also had a crash.
The button car. Yeah.
Yeah, they all had incidents.
Yeah.
Or no, I'm sorry. Wait. Did one of the BMWs just retire?
No.
Both
BMWs finished.
Okay, I'm sorry. The BMW hit the Jota into another GT3
it
BMW.
Recovered, but anyways.
That's what that one was. So what was the other car that was out then? It was two Porsches and a Cadillac?
Two Porsches and the Lamborghini.
Oh, okay.
So this is their first bad race.
Okay.
So.
And is it just one car for them?
Yes.
That's tough.
Yeah. So, when we got to a certain point, we get to, I think, the last hour and a half or so of the race. Bamber makes a move going up the Camel Straight.
Mm-hmm.
It was a high-risk move. I don't think it should have been.
No, I would say his fault.
I would say his fault. It was a big wreck. Big wreck. Took out one of the BMW GT3 cars, and then basically he got airborne. He didn't flip, just tore the car apart.
Yeah, but
and then it hit the wall, and it hit one of the barriers, and that barrier got pushed back, and that's what did a lot of the damage to the car.
But thankfully, the car
it looks like it exploded
way it did.
Yeah,
the wreck
wasn't as violent as Van der Zander's last year.
No.
But it was, it was a lot of damage.
It was
the tub
looked
fine, but it was pretty high speed.
Yeah.
It's just, you don't need this going into
Le Mans.
No. Le Mans. And some of these guys I question. I like Earl Bamber, but I don't think Earl Bamber's, I know he's won Le Mans, but I mean, I just don't think he's a prototype driver. And, I think we're going to see a change next year. At least in IMSA, we're going to see a definite change with the one I think is going to miss out not having is Bourdais. If they move to where everyone's talking,
I know.
But I think you're going to see a better caliber of driving from the overall from the team next year. But same thing here. It's tough with one car, as you've pointed out all along.
Yeah, it's tough with one car, but that also makes it that much more impressive that they are that far up.
Yeah.
Whether that's help from the from the BOP or not, but
so this red flag became extended, got down to the last second, and the decision was made not to stop the race. Now,
finish the race.
Sucks for Ferrari because they were leading at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But I wholeheartedly agree with this. I mean, if you got it fixed, let's go racing. There was plenty of daylight left,
mm-hmm.
And let's go racing and give the fans what they want to see. And, we saw a great finish.
Mm-hmm.
And congrats to Hertz Team Jota for winning with their Porsche.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first privateer win. So that's good. Because that harkens back to the Group C days when we had the Rothman Porsches, which were factory cars,
mm-hmm.
but you had the Jos Porsches, you had everything else running.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what needed to happen. So mm-hmm. I think that's fantastic. Factory Porsche, Penske Porsche finished third.
Second.
Followed by factory Ferraris. Proton Porsche. Another privateer finished fifth.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had Toyota, AF Corsa with their privately backed Ferrari. And then we had the factory teams of Alpine, Peugeot, BMW.
And then finally, on last of the GTPs in the top 18 was the Izzato, which finished a lap down, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bonus. So good on them. Actually, I'm sorry. They were three laps down. Sorry.
Hey, I mean, it's still a finish for them.
Yep.
Which is good.
Yep. So good on them. In GT, what are we calling it?
Three.
Le Mans GT3.
I just call it GT3. Yeah. I can't.
It was a Manti Porsche 1-2.
Yes.
Richard Leitz with the win.
But the second place Porsche was in the lead, but had to do some fuse saving.
They had to do some fuse saving.
But so I mean, they had, again.
And then we had the Iron Danes, but the Iron Lynx car, and then United Autosports with their McLaren finished fourth. And then the Iron Dames, which were the fast car throughout practice and qualifying, ran into some issues in the latter half of this race. They were used as a pinball by the Toyotas. So that was unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go. Not the best weekend for BMW. The 46 WRT, that's the one with... Valentino Rossi.
Yeah, that one got taken out.
And then the other WRT car was completely taken out by Earl Bamber. That was the one with Sean Doyle. Yeah. So, unfortunate for those guys. So, sorry about that.
Man, the points for GT3.
Tight?
I mean... If you remove first place, yes.
Who's in first?
The Manti Porsche of Klaus Bachler, Alex Malakin, and Joel Stern. They're leading the way with 72 points.
Wow.
And then tied for second place, but with a tiebreaker is the WRT BMW of Augusto Farfus, Sean Goyle, and Darren Lung with 37 points. So 2 points shy of doubling ahead of the field. I mean,
that's impressive.
The Manti Porsche has not finished off the podium.
That's awesome.
Just above and beyond. I mean, in comparison, the other Manti Porsche of Richard Leitz, Morris Schuring, and Yasser Shahin, all finished. They won this past week at Spa, but the previous two races they finished outside the top 10 and in 15th and 16th. Yeah, they got the same car, but I mean, it just shows how much better that Manti Porsche team is doing. In hypercar, again, a little bit of running away at this point. Kind of a similar story with the Porsche Penske of Kevin Estre, Andre Lotterer, and Lawrence Vanthoor they've finished no worse than second. Out of these three races, so strong results there. In second place, the win from Jota puts him up into second of Callum Mila and Will Stevens. So, but they're trailing the Porsche Penske by 22 points. So in the lead is 74, in second is 52 points, and then in third place is Toyota. Of Mike Conway, Kamui Kobayashi, and Nick DeVries.
Uh-huh.
And they've, like, a mixed bag of results, but they finished fifth at Qatar. They won at Imola, which is boosting them up right now. And then they've finished seventh at Spa. The other Porsche Penske car of Matt Campbell, Michael Christensen, and Frederick McAvecky had two-thirds in their retirement from Spa. So had they not had the retirement, they would definitely be further up the grid, or further up the points, for sure. And then then you get into Ferrari, and the rest of the Ferraris and Toyotas, and then, you know, the rest of the field is kind of down there. So, I mean, there is kind of a clear distinction of who's in the top of hypercar, but, yeah.
All right. So next up for them, Le Mans?
Yes.
Be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Look forward to that. Is LMP2 back there?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
All right. That's exciting.
LMP2 is back with, because they, it is all the invites pretty much from IMSA, ELMS, and the Asian Le Mans Series. So those are who are competing in that.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Just some sports car notes. Making the rounds. JDC, still talking about, they have a second car. So, but they're still trying to figure out whether it's going to appear next year full time or like do the North American Endurance Series. BMW's still possibly talking about using customer cars as a possibility. Once they can get some consistency out of these, which would be great. Cadillac has shut the door on that, which is not great. So,
yeah.
All right. In IndyCar news, obviously we had a little bit of running today at Indy, but nothing major. The hybrid system will debut at Mid-Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
So looking forward to that, see how that goes. Pratt & Miller has put a pause on their IndyCar program. And I think that has to do with this charter program that's being mentioned. So that would force you into showing up at a race, not guaranteed that you're going to get in, which I don't like.
Yeah.
You know. But it alluded to the fact that they're possibly looking at other things in addition to their program of servicing the Corvettes and possibly LMP2.
Just to get back on that IndyCar hybrid note, Mid-Ohio is the first race in July.
Yes.
So it's not just after the Indy 500. There's also going to be Detroit, Road America,
yeah,
and Laguna Seca,
yeah,
that are going to happen in between.
I think this is the last half of the season they're using it.
Yeah, pretty much. But, yeah. I mean, that means you're doing Mid-Ohio, and then you go to the Iowa doubleheader.
Yeah.
Toronto.
Uh-huh.
Street course. And then Gateway.
It's got to be one more track.
Milwaukee.
Oh, Milwaukee.
And then they finish the season at Nashville.
Nashville.
So, I mean, I'm...
So it's primarily going to be used on the ovals.
Yeah, which...
Yeah, fine.
That's going to be the interesting point, yeah, anyways, of how these, yeah, these work. But yeah. I mean, they'll do one race on the road track and then go right to the ovals. So I'd be curious to see how that works.
All right. NASCAR news. NASCAR and IndyCar news. Well, not IndyCar news still. Jimmy Johnson will be joining the NBC sports booth for the Indy 500, and then we'll fly to Charlotte with Kyle, and Jimmy will drive in the 600 along with Kyle.
Jesus.
All right. That's pretty cool.
Because he can.
Cam Waters, V8 supercar star, will make his debut in Cup at our at Sonoma. This could be fun.
Yeah.
Because that could be him in SVG.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That could be fun.
Yeah, well, if assuming, you know, the cars come out pretty equal.
Why can't they put them... Are they going to Chicago this year?
Yeah.
So why don't they put them in at Chicago, Watkins Glen, and Sonoma?
Don't get ahead of yourself.
I know, but that'd be like a V8 supercar heaven for me. I'd be all over it.
I know.
I'd be all over that. All right. That's pretty much it for that. Formula One, we are at Imola for the 30,000
page long titled race?
San Marino Grand Prix.
No, it's Imola. I'm just calling it
Imola. Okay. Whatever. All right. We'll
whatever. That. San Marino. Yeah, anyways. All right. So we got to come up with our picks.
Yes, we do.
Nate saw his.
Yeah, I got to find his because he actually put it in, right?
He did.
Yeah. His dark horse is Danny Rick.
Ooh, I like that.
Okay, here's the rest of it. All right. In first place, he's picking Max. In second place, Sainz. And in third, Leclerc. And his dark horse is Ricciardo. I'm going to go off the board here. I'm going to say Lando keeps the streak alive. Makes it two in a row.
All right.
Leclerc second. And Piastri third. I'll go with a bad weekend for Red Bull for some reason.
Okay.
Dark horse. No, we're going true dark horses here. We'll go with Hulkenberg
because the Hulk.
Because why not?
Why not? All right. Well, I'm not gonna go with a bad weekend. I'm gonna go Max. I know he's gonna be distracted because he's gonna be running the Nürburgring 24.
No, he won't be distracted.
I'm taking him to win his side hustle, the side quest, which is the Grand Prix.
Yeah.
And then I am gonna go with a rebound from Carlos.
Okay.
And then I am gonna go Charles in third.
Okay, and who's your dark horse?
My dark horse is gonna be Yuki.
Okay, so you've essentially done the exact same as Nate, except the dark horse, but you've picked the same AlphaTauri.
What?
As Nate, dark Nate horse?
Did he pick the same three?
Yes, he picked the same three. Well, that's
order?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I can't help you there. I'm not. This isn't, you know. Well, what? So if I went first, then it would have been, Nate picked the same thing you picked.
No, we would have said Nate picked it first because he put it in.
It's all right. Okay. That's how I see it.
All right.
Anyways.
Congrats to Porsche on a perfect weekend for them.
Yeah, big weekend for them. Actually, Penske, I think, picked up their Honda sports car win.
Yes, they did. That was another achievement.
Congratulations there.
So.
No push to pass in IMSA.
No, but, well, okay, but what, power in second, and then they also finished second in WEC.
Right.
So it almost could have been a Penske perfection weekend, too.
Right.
So, right. No, because then I would have to include NASCAR in that.
Right.
Sorry, let me back that off. So Porsche had a really good weekend.
Overall.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And on that note.
Sorry, before we say that.
Oh, checking?
I just want to double check, make sure I got all checking. The racing.
We're checking.
This weekend for racing, just to recap, F1 is at Imola. Super Formula is
Speaking of Super Formula, Ben Barnicote, Lexus GT driver, is stepping into Teo's ride.
Oh, all right. That's cool.
Yeah, saw that. That's pretty cool.
So Super Formula is back this weekend at Autopolis. And then I also have down that V8 supercars are at Perth.
Okay.
So
just so people know, because I'm like the last one in the world that joined TikTok. The cool thing is I've kind of been grumpy about how I can find British touring car, the BTCC races.
Anyone outside of what, England and Europe?
Yeah, and I still haven't. I got to play with the VPN to see if I can snooch around on it. But without a V, you know, with normal things, BTCC through their TV partner ITV, live streams the races on TikTok, which is pretty cool because there were three races this weekend at Brands Hatch on the Indy circuit, so that was fun. Colin Turkington took the first two, so it was pretty cool. It was fun. I like it. I like that racing because they're like 35-minute races. Well, and
what
awesome.
Other? I mean, I remember Turkington, but who else is
Ash Sutton?
Bigger name that's still in there.
Ash Sutton.
Okay.
Is in there. He's those two are probably the two biggest names that are still there. I mean, a lot of them are. There's a lot of guys that are coming up through the ranks that are jumping in now. Mm-hmm. Lewis's brother Nick runs in there. Well, he was. I don't know if he is now.
Yeah.
Maybe he might have moved to another British series, but Nick ran in touring cars for a long time. But it's still it's great racing. It's a little hokey right now because they have a hybrid system on the cars. But, you know, hey, manufacturers want to have it. I guess you got to put it on there, right? And then like the privateer cars don't run the hybrid system.
Right.
So, but Ash Sutton and Colin Turkington are they're the two top guns. Sutton's dominated the racing. I mean, I will say this. If you watch any on YouTube, you watch any race from Goodwood, there's at least five or six BTCC guys driving in it. So, great stuff. Good racing. They're short races. They're no more than a half hour, and there's a minimum 2 to 3 races a weekend.
Yeah.
So, plus, being Britain or England, you get the crappy ass weather.
Yeah.
So. Anyways, on that note.
Good night. Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.